readers. Welcome to Books Connect Us from Penguin Random House. This is a podcast about staying connected with each other and the stories and authors who inspire us. Today's guest is Emma Strau, author of the New York Times bestseller The Vacationers and the brand new novel All Adults Here. Emma is also a bookseller herself, as she runs the beloved Books Are Magic in Brooklyn, New York. Emma discusses just how she's both running a bookstore and releasing a new novel in these troubling times, and also recommends some new books that she's loving right now. Here's our own Amy Brinker in conversation with the author and Books Are Magic proprietor, Emma Straub.
Thanks so much for joining us, Emma.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
So I think like everybody who I've been talking to ever since this quarantine started happening is, how are you? What does your day look like? What is going on with you today?
So I am home with my 4-year-old and my 6-year-old. And my husband is at the bookstore shipping things out every day. So I am playing with Legos all day long and providing endless snacks. Mm-hmm. And it's actually really nice. I think that many people I know, friends of mine, who do not have children, have said to me so happy I don't have children right now, which is rude, and you shouldn't say that to someone. But also, I understand because, you know, if you're home, you know, by yourself or with another adult of your choice, you can do whatever you want all day long. But I think that if I were alone or just with my husband all day, I think that I wouldn't be writing or doing anything useful. I think I would just be watching CNN all day and reading the newspaper and being much more freaked out than I am now, because I don't have time to do those things because I'm building Legos and making treasure hunts and making slime and doing all these things with my kids, which are fun and distracting. And yes, I am breaking up a million fights every single day and making sure that they don't murder each other. I'm pretty happy in my little bubble, which is nice.
That is
how
so
are
nice.
You?
Oh,
how
I'm,
are you,
I'm
Amy?
Good. I'm luckier than most. I was able to get to Pennsylvania from Brooklyn.
Nice.
So instead of being in a 2-room studio, I'm in a much nicer situation. And there's a puppy
Fabulous.
Here, which has made a world of difference. It's been
dreamy.
Very exciting to have a puppy around.
Well, I did see that across the country, animal shelters are empty.
Yeah.
Because everyone realizes oh my God, I need a small, cuddly creature.
Oh yeah. And it definitely stokes the ego when you come downstairs and there's a wiggly creature who's just pumped to see you every day. So that's been very nice. Really boosting the ego.
Good.
But yeah. Well, I'm glad. And it sounds like, it's not often that you have time for marathon play sessions too. Being able to really dive deep with kids is special.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Well, so you said your husband's at the store. So you guys are still doing online ordering and shipping.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the more recent days of the store and how you guys made those choices and how the staff is doing? I know you guys have been doing great Zoom calls and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The staff is handling it in their own individual ways, for sure. There are some people who are 100% freaked out and have not left their houses in a month.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who are let me come in and ship packages because I live by myself. And if I don't come in, I will really have problems. Like I need to do it. And so, and like, then there's everyone in between. So, you know, they each have their own personalities and ways of coping with this, you know, sort of collective trauma. But I think as a store, we're doing well. You know, it's, people have been so supportive and, are really placing orders all day long and all night long. It's funny, you know, the orders go up at night, and I think it's people are just panicked and not sleeping and are like, oh, okay, here's something I can do. I can support this business that I care about. Yeah.
And I saw somebody, like, totally unrelated to book people at all, not a publishing Instagram or anything, but someone had posted something about, like, thank you, books are magic, for getting my books to me. And it was so heartwarming. Yeah. It was so surprising. Yeah. It was so lovely.
So. Yeah, and I mean, the best part of the orders coming in is that, like, in every single one, you know, there's a little notes field where you can say, like, you know, please wrap this one, it's for my mom's birthday or whatever. Mm-hmm. Normally, but now they're just all these little love notes to us in the store, and it really helps.
That's the you best. Know, oh, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, speaking of love notes, one of the best things, like one of the best details about the store is the poetry gumball machine, which is such a physical thing that you do in the store. What are you guys doing for Poetry Month? Are you doing, I saw that there's one poetry reading at least, right?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we're having some poetry readings. But what we're doing is... I wrote to lots of people and asked them if they knew any poems by heart, and lots of people responded. And so we're posting those videos throughout the month, starting with my 6-year-old, who I forced to memorize a very short Margaret Atwood poem. But we're doing that. Most of our staff picks, if not all, I think all of our staff picks are poetry this month. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, we are definitely still trying to figure out how to shift everything from being in the store to just being online. It's a giant overhaul. Yeah. You know, our events program is so big, and to, you know, turn on a dime and figure out all this new technology and. I mean, but of course it's what we're all doing, you know, every single one of us, like my 4-year-old and 6-year-old are on like Zoom calls mm-hmm. all day long, you know, with their schools yeah. and with their, you know, occupational therapists and speech therapists. And I mean, you know, it's just nonstop Zoom calls.
I know that that's a real thing. And every kid is doing that for, homeschooling or remote learning and stuff. But when you say that your child has a Zoom call, it sounds very much like you have a business child. I'm like, they're just like taking calls all day.
I have no business children. I have two children who really, really hate it.
I'm sorry.
When it's one-on-one, it's not so bad, but when it's a whole group, it's just like my older kid just gets really sad.
Oh no.
And my younger one just walks away because it's like a cacophony of 4-year-olds. Like it doesn't make any sense, you know, like it's not, I don't know. I mean, I guess some people have children who are like patient and like able to sit through that, mine are not.
I can't handle like a 5-person call, like more than that sounds really, really undoable.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, you are doing these online events, these like your Instagram has been so great in kind of replacing some of the good things about the store. So you can see the April staff picks, on the mm-hmm. stories and the highlights and things. And you just did a story time. Can you talk mm-hmm. a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, story time is one of those things that we've done from the beginning, just like every bookstore does. Because, I mean, the whole reason we opened the store in the first place was because we had just moved back to Cobble Hill and I wanted to be by Book Court because I needed to place to bring my children at 9 o'clock in the morning because they wake up at 6 or earlier. And I'm not into sports and neither are my children. And so we just needed a place to go. And that's why we opened the store, because suddenly there was no place to go. And so we're like, oh, better open a bookstore. And, and part of that is story time, you know, like giving parents and caregivers a thing to do with their kids that doesn't cost money, that you don't have to buy anything. It's just fun and entertaining and art, you know, it's actual art for children, truly up close and personal. Yeah. But obviously that can't happen when the store isn't open. So I thought, well, I have books that I like to read and we have authors who come in. And so basically I'm going to do it unless we have an author scheduled and then we'll have that author read their book. But yeah, I mean, you know, I the way I'm thinking about it right now is like, you know, it's not about, I'm a terrible businesswoman, but like, it's not about selling books, you know? I mean, like, I want us to sell enough books that we can keep paying our staff and that we can stay open. But my main focus is bringing people the things that they enjoy about the bookstore, you know, as easily as I can.
Yeah.
And if that's just like me in my pajamas with dirty hair, reading a book, you know, like.
It is great. I think like that's the one silver lining that's been really nice to see is like you were saying, community just rallying and really expressing how much businesses mean to them and how much stores mean to them and the people who run them. So it's really great to see that that kind of support for the indies. It's great.
Oh, for sure.
Well, one other thing that's kind of rough, one of the many, many, many things that's pretty rough is authors who have books coming out right now, right now at all times. You among them, unfortunately. But do you have plans for your own launch? Do you have any pub day?
Oh, I have lots of crazy plans. I mean, you know, no one wants this, you know, no one wants, this thing that they have spent years working on and agonizing over and like just, you know, squeezing time out of their day to do, you know. I mean, this book was the hardest book for me to write.
Why?
You know, just because I had two children a bookstore.
Like logistically.
You know, I mean, I don't have a lot of time anymore. And it was really hard to write this book, and it is totally heartbreaking that it's going to come out in this moment. But of course there are much bigger heartbreaks. And so, I mean, the silver lining, if there can be such a thing in this moment, is that with all of my other books, I've gotten so anxious and I've just been like in knots about my book and, you know, are people going to read it? Are people going to buy it? Are people going to say nice things? Is it going to do well? Is it going to do horribly? Is, you know, whatever. And I am not having those feelings right now. Yeah. You know, I am not worried about my book. But what I am worried about, more than my own book, are all the books published by debut writers.
Yeah.
And not just debuts, but like, you know, sort of, you know, writers who have maybe published a book or two before, but haven't ever really had, you know, one that really caught on, and therefore, you know, they don't have a big audience to sort of rely on. I mean, you know, I don't know if people are going to buy my book or not. I genuinely have no idea, of course. But I feel like I have a good chance. If anybody has a good chance right now, I have a good chance. You know, like Jennifer Weiner is publishing a book, she's got a good chance. Stephanie Dandler's publishing a book, she's got a good chance. But it's all the people who, you know, who have been working for years, yeah, and like that this is their life's dream. And to have it happen like this is just, it's just abysmal. And so I'm just part of my plan for my book, launch has to do with highlighting some of those writers. And, you know, really, I feel like that's my mission right now for the rest of the month, is to just shine a light on as many other writers as I can. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's always my job at the store, but yeah, especially right now.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think like that will probably make a pretty good dent too.
I hope so.
That's something that's on our minds as well, as you can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's shine a little bit of light on your new book, because we can, and you've spent a lot of time trying to make it happen, and it deserves to be talked about a little bit.
Thank you.
It's called All Adults Here, and it's coming out May 4th. And this is my favorite of yours.
Thank you.
I think it's fantastic. And I like truly have put it down several times being too seen. It's been rough. and I wanted to just talk about some of the sibling dynamics. This is a book about three adult siblings and their mother, who is kind of looking back, and they're all kind of interacting and learning about how their actions and how they've interacted with their family have affected the others. Yeah. Have you, like, it's so precise in a way that I found very impressive, because all these types of feelings are so nebulous. Like, you feel weird baggage and resentments from 15 years ago, and you're like, I don't even know where to start. So,
well, I mean,
how did you start?
It sounds to me like you, Amy, have a family, you know, exactly. And I think that, you know, and I think that's how it is, you know. I mean, like, I can tell you without having to reach back very hard, without having to try, I can tell you so many moments where I like pressed on a bruise of my brothers, or moments where I like sold him out to my parents, or like, you know, moments where I like really wanted my parents to say something and they said something different. And, you know, and I have a really good relationship with my family, you know, like, I think that it's really just part of the deal with people who know you the best and love you the most. You know, those people are the ones who really know how to hurt you and who hurt you without meaning to. Both. I think that, you know, when I started writing this book, I don't know what I thought it was about. I didn't really know. I thought it was about cheese. I was like, I had this whole fantasy. Yeah, I mean, there's cheese in there. I had this whole just feeling about, like I this feeling that I wanted the novel to have, which was like the Gilmore Girls and cheese and like, I don't know.
Good novel. Yeah.
that was my goal. But then of course, you know, this is what happens when you write a book, is that you discover that it's actually about other things, and that, you know, one of the things is definitely, you know, how it feels to be an adult with parents. and and how it feels to be an adult with both parents and children. So mm-hmm. you're like right in the middle, and you know that, like, I mean, what you tell yourself as a parent, I can tell you for sure, at least I tell myself, is like, oh, the ways that I'm messing up right now are it's fine. Like, my children won't remember how much television they watched at this moment, and they won't think that I'm a bad mother because of it, and, or whatever. Then you also think about your own parents, and you're like, oh, my parents, you know, made these choices and had this kind of relationship with each other and with me and with my siblings, and like, huh, you know? So I think it is simultaneously true that, like, everything matters and nothing matters mm-hmm. in families, you know? Like, there are things that, and that those things change as you get older and as you find yourself in a different phase of your own life, you know? Like, I don't know if it's just that I, you know, was, like, blissfully like unaware or like unwilling to like look and really examine things in my life before I became a parent mm-hmm. or if it's just like a natural thing that happens in life where, like, you know, once you really are like past, you know, the point of no return in terms of like having to be an adult and a grown up, everything looks different, you know?
Yeah.
And I definitely feel that way. And I think my characters do too. And of course that, I mean, you know, the other funny thing about, so there are three siblings in the book, you know, and two boys and with a girl in the middle. And I always thought that birth order was like a joke, was like a ridiculous joke. Sort of like astrology where, like, you know, like, do you believe it? Sure, a little, but like only the parts that like really sound like you. But now I understand that it's not anything. It's not that, like, you know, second children or middle children are inherently one way or the other. It's that parents who already have a child are completely different parents right. the second time and certainly the third time.
Yeah.
Like, that is the variable that changes, which I never understood before. Just like how different it is. And maybe there are, you know, lots and lots of parents out there who are just way better parents than I am, who remain steadfast when it comes to things like vegetables and screen time and I don't know, whatever. But for us, you know, it was just totally upside down the second time. And we were, we were definitely different parents than we were the first time in some good ways and in some bad ways,
right.
I think.
Right. Yeah. Did you do research? Did you learn about attachment theory and read about therapy and all this kind of stuff to
understand? Oh, no. No?
Really?
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
No. I mean, I have children. and I have a brother and I have parents. That's all I need. That's all I need. I mean, I'm in therapy. Everybody's in therapy.
Right.
But yeah, no, I didn't read any additional parenting books that I wasn't already reading for my own parenting.
Fair enough. Well, I don't want to keep you too long. We are asking everybody, and we are kind of like really resting on the idea that right now, even though it's hard not to be together right now, books always bring us together mm-hmm. from afar. I was wondering if you could say, like, in what way books are connecting you to your community and to your friends right now, and if you want to call out a couple new authors whose books you hope to get a little attention.
You know, books have always been like the language with which I have communicated with my family. You know, with my, you know, my father's a writer and my mom has been an early childhood literacy specialist for the last 30, how old am I? Like 35 years. You know, when I think about my childhood, I think about books and, you know, differently, connecting differently with each of my parents about books, and still, that's still true. You know, like when I FaceTime with my parents now, we talk about books and, you know, and the thing that I love to do with my kids right now is just read books. You know, obviously we are very lucky because we have a whole bookstore as our playground. But you know, my house, you know, I've always had a lot of books, but now it's just, you know, verging on like hoarding territory. And, there are books just everywhere in every room. Every single room of my house has a mountain of books in it. And I think that it helps all of us be calm and be connected. You know, I think that for my kids, like just cuddling up together on the couch and reading a book, I mean, it's like a beautiful shared dream. And, you know, I don't know how much they're aware. I mean, my older one is 6 and, you know, we talk about what's going on to a certain extent. But, you know, my 4-year-old doesn't, like, we don't really talk about it. But obviously he understands that he's not in school and his brother's not in school and we're all staying home and we only leave the house, like, really once a day for like a bike ride around the block. Mm-hmm. And if that, but I think that, you know, whether or not he's expressing his anxiety about it, I'm sure that he is comforted by, you know, those moments of just like physical closeness and, sort of emotional and psychological closeness. You know, I think books feel safe.
Yeah.
And that's a really nice feeling right now. I've been reading a lot of, rom-coms because that's where my head is at.
Yeah. Everyone is, yep, right now. I've,
yeah,
never read a rom-com before in my life. And I've read like 4.
Right. So one that I really liked was called One to Watch by a woman named Kate Stamen London. It's about a plus size fashion blogger who becomes the Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
A+. Then there's one called Something to Talk About by a woman named Meryl Wilsner. These are both debut novels, I'm pretty positive. And that one is like it's a love story between this like sort of Shonda Rhimes-y, like high-powered Hollywood writer and her assistant. That I thought was super great. Then a YA debut that I love that's coming out, or I'm not sure if it's out yet, but it out momentarily. It's called Stay Gold by a trans guy named Tobley McSmith, and it's a trans sort of coming of age romance high school story, which I just loved.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time, Emma. I really appreciate you.
Of course.
Doing
of course.
This tonight. Yeah.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Books Connect Us. For more great book recommendations and information about your favorite authors, feel free to follow Penguin Random House on social media or visit penguinrandomhouse.com. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. as it helps more listeners to find our show. This podcast is produced by Pat Stango and edited by Clayton Gumbert. I've been Erin Leaf, and until next time, this has been Books Connect Us.